fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with Dr. Peter Williamson here on Fire on the Earth. Dr. Williamson is the Adam Cardinal Mita Chair of Sacred Scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary, and he's one of the chief editors of the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture, which is a commentary I love. I use it all the time. I just want them to get more of those commentaries out. So welcome back, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, and we've been talking about the Book of Revelation. We started yesterday. We're going to talk about it throughout this week. But before we jump into today's theme, tell us a little bit more about the Catholic Commentary, the whole series.
Sure. Well, it covers the whole New Testament. It will cover it in 17 volumes. There are 11 of them already out. Our authors are people who are both scholars, but also who are good at communicating the Word of God to people in ordinary language. We're very strong on saying we don't want to just be an academic commentary. We want to be one that can communicate in ordinary language the Word of God in a way that preachers and teachers can use it, but anybody who's a serious student of the Bible can go in there and understand it. You don't have to be a scholar or an expert to get it. We try to work through each text, kind of verse by verse, carefully explaining whatever's there. And we also include reflection and application sections that apply it to life. We also include background sidebars. I'm working right now as editor on Scott Hahn's volume on Romans. But Dr. Mary Healy wrote the Gospel of Mark. Ted Sree and Curtis Mitch wrote the Gospel of Matthew. They didn't write the Gospel of Matthew. They wrote the commentary.
Yeah.
And
Father Francis Martin wrote
the one on the Gospel of John, which was just recently published. He co-authored that with Bill Wright, a Catholic layman and professor at Duquesne.
Yeah. And then you did one on Ephesians.
I wrote one on Ephesians.
And now you've got this one on Revelation, which is relatively new as well.
Yes,
isn't
it's brand new,
and
just
I've
like
read,
the Gospel of John.
I read most of it, and it's excellent. It's really good.
Well, I think it's my best book ever, and I really
do.
Yeah,
okay.
I do. And I like it most because, well, I never imagined I would write a book on Revelation, and I just learned so much praying over that, reflecting on it. I worked on it 5-6 years, you know. It was a long time after teaching it a number of times and so on. So I feel like I've mulled it over, and I feel like I've got something there.
And it's a book that can be very confusing to people. And
absolutely.
I remember when I took a class on Revelation years ago at the seminary, we had 26 students, and each of us had a different commentary on it, and some of them were just way out there.
Yeah.
And so having a clear Catholic perspective on what the Book of Revelation is all about is really excellent.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, there's been progress in scholarship. I am kind of impressed myself at how there is an emerging consensus on a lot of the things about the Book of Revelation. There's still a lot of diversity of opinion, and there was in the early church diversity of opinion, but I do think there's some consensus growing about a variety of things about it, and that's a good sign.
And all these commentaries can be purchased on Amazon?
That's right, or Catholic bookstores, any kind of online source will be likely to have them as well.
Yep. Yeah, I love them. I'm building that library with these in my house because I use them regularly. They're
terrific.
Very, very helpful. They're so accessible. They got good scholarship, but it's not intimidating academic stuff. You know, it's just
comes across
in a very readable form. And I'm working on Scott Hahn's right now, too. I'm just reading through it.
Oh,
Mary
good.
Sent it to me, and I love it. It's just so good. So anyway, let's jump in. We're looking today.
One more thing is that it's available on Kindle and on Verbum. So those are a couple of other platforms it's available on.
Okay, good. But today we're going to talk a little bit about the letters to the seven churches.
Yeah. Let me jump in on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at the beginning of the Book of Revelation, after the initial vision of Jesus that we talked about yesterday, there are seven prophetic messages to churches in Asia Minor at that time. And they're often called the seven letters because they're sort of personally addressed to each particular congregation in these different cities. Now, we know that there are more cities than seven. It seems that the Lord chose to address seven as a way of symbolizing the whole church. And they have a common structure. They all begin, first one. They all begin by saying, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, right? So the angel either represents the guardian angel of the church, or it may be a way of referring to the bishop of the church. But at any rate, it addresses the person who in some ways cares for and oversees the church, whether it's a bishop or an angel. And then it gives the message. But the next element is, Christ discloses who he is. So in this one, to Ephesus, the beginning of chapter 2, it says, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven golden lampstands. This refers back to the previous chapter. But the idea here is that the churches are the seven golden lampstands. In other words, they're lampstands that have a lamp, the light of Christ in them, and they're shining into the darkness of the world. And that's what's out there, and Jesus is walking among them. So we not only have Jesus in the Eucharist, we not only have Jesus in the Scriptures, but we have Jesus walking among the churches, being among us in our parishes, walking among our parishes in the Diocese of Lansing and the Archdiocese of Detroit and the other dioceses of the world. Jesus is walking. Beautiful. And he's speaking a word. Beautiful. Then in each of the letters, Jesus says, I know your works. I know what you've been doing. I know where you are.
Back to that first chapter with eyes flaming fire, you made
exactly
the point of saying it, Jesus doesn't miss anything, and everybody will, he holds us accountable for who we are and what we're doing and how we respond to his commands and his call in our life.
And so in each of these messages to the churches, Jesus pinpoints some things about that church. Now, in some, he has only praise. I think that's two of the churches. In some, he has almost only blame. That's another two of the churches. But most of the others, it's a combination of both praise for the things they're doing right and blame for the things they're not doing right. And, you know, if we think about it, these churches in the ancient world were pretty similar to parishes today. And so if you could imagine Jesus showing up in your town and going to six or seven parishes, he would have a different word for each one, you know. He'd pick out some positive things, he'd pick out some negative things, and that's kind of what we have here in the letter to the book of Revelation. One more point, though, is that at the end of each of the letters, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So in other words, he who has an ear, that's every one of us, we can hear. And he says, we're to listen to what the Spirit saying, that is, these messages. But it doesn't say just to what he's saying to your church, it's saying, what is he saying to the churches? So in other words, all the letters are addressed to all Christians, and we're called to listen to them and see what in these letters applies to our lives. What is the Spirit saying to me through these letters? What is he saying to my parish through these letters? And that's, I find, something very rich.
Yeah, and I notice, Pete, there's a theme here that a number of times Jesus calls them to repent.
Yeah.
To be awake.
Yeah.
You know, come alive. And so he's exhorting these parishes, let's just for the sake of our conversation, he's calling them to repentance. Now, these are believers that he's calling to repentance. So that's part of Jesus' pastoral strategy, isn't it?
Absolutely. And in the very last letter of the seven, at the end of chapter 3, Jesus says this very precisely. He says, those whom I love, I reprove and chasten. Chapter 3, verse 19. So be zealous and repent. And this is said in the midst of a very severe letter, and I want to actually focus on this one. It's the last letter to Laodicea, and I want to focus on it because when I have taught the book of Revelation to classes, courses at Sacred Heart Seminary, which I've done a number of times, I often say to people, after we study the letters of the seven churches, I say, now, which one most resembles the church in America? And interestingly enough, the most consistent response that I get from people is this church, this message to the church of Laodicea. So I'll just read it and comment on it briefly. Jesus says, starting with verse 15, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you, and actually the Greek is, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Wow. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. Not knowing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. So it's addressing the church when the church is overconfident, when the church is doing well, when, you know, we have enough money, when we seem to have lots of people coming, when it seems like we're real successful. We have to look a little deeper because Jesus might have a different opinion about how we're doing. Now, I must say that the times are changing in the United States, and there are fewer Catholics than there were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, who are going to say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. The Lord is changing our fortunes, and more we're realizing that we're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked, and we really need Jesus' help. But then he says, Jesus says, therefore I counsel you to buy from me, not that we can buy anything from Jesus, but he means obtain from me gold refined by fire, faith, that you may be rich. Let's pray for faith. White garments to clothe you and keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen. White garments of righteous conduct. Salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see, that we can stop being dull and blind, but we can really be discerning people, spiritually discerning, not just accepting everything in the world around us, but being people of discernment who recognize the good from the bad. And then it says, be zealous and repent. Look, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, so the choice is up to every one of us. The door can only be opened from the inside. If we'll open the door and let Jesus in, he says, I will come in to him and eat with him. So Jesus' word is a gracious word. It's saying, you're messed up, but invite me and I'll clean you up and we'll have a meal together. And I want to bless you. I love you. That's why I'm correcting you.
Yeah. And is the meal, I'll have a meal with you, is that Eucharistic or is that just fellowship or... what is that? You know, the family meal? How would you describe what he's referring to there?
I would say it's all of those. Mm-hmm. The book of Revelation is symbol, and it's not just like every symbol has exactly one meaning. So it's Eucharistic, yes. We enter into a deep Eucharistic union with him and fellowship him with, but it's also, it's personal relationship. It's, you know, sharing a meal with somebody. It's intimacy in personal relationship that Jesus is offering and inviting us to, saying, open the door, I want to have that intimate relationship with you. Will you let me in?
How do listeners do that? Maybe somebody's listening today and they hear the knocking through what you're sharing today. Yeah. How do they respond?
It's the simplest thing in the world. We can stop wherever we are. I mean, as we're driving our car or as we're sitting at home, and we can just say, Jesus, I am poor, blind, and naked. I need you. Please, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, and let me know you, and forgive me, and put me on the right path. Help me. Hmm. Come in, Jesus. I open myself to you, and do whatever you want. Show me the way.
It is a simple thing, isn't it? Both of us
the have simplest thing in the world.
Our lives, and I know others have as well. And that simple prayer, prayed earnestly from your heart, is a prayer that the Lord is going to answer. And when you pray it, he hears it. And pray it each day. It's a good thing to pray each day.
Absolutely.
Lord, come into my heart. Lord, I see you knocking at the door. You want to go deeper. Because in the journey with the Lord, he has to go deeper over time, doesn't he? Because he comes in and he's with us. But some ways we let him in only so far. We don't even realize it maybe at the time. And he just wants to keep going deeper and deeper and deeper and free us.
Yeah,
and give us the identity as sons and daughters of God to lead us into kind of the Romans 8 understanding of the Spirit crying out in our hearts, Abba, Father, the heart of Jesus for the love of the Father and the confidence and security we have as children of God that gives us peace, that gives us joy, that gives us hope and the knowledge that we're really in the hands of the Lord. So we just have about 30 seconds here, but do you want to close the program with a prayer for us
today?
Sure,
I'd be glad to.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, who spoke to the churches of Revelation and who are speaking to us, the church today, come into our hearts, come into our lives, come into our parishes, come into our diocese, come into the church, and bring your healing word and your saving word to us. Give us that intimacy because we desire to know you. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. And Peter, thanks for being with us. Dr. Williamson will be with us again tomorrow. Hope you can tune in. Tell your friends to tune in because the show's going to just keep getting better as the week goes on. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.